Would you object if we began with a game this morning? I'm going to tell you three statements. Two will be true and one is going to be a lie. And then I'm going to have you vote, okay? So three statements. I'll read all three of them and then I'll go back and remind you and I'll ask you if you're willing to raise your hand to try to find the lie. One, picketers outside Westminster prompted police to arrive. Two, Fred Rogers did a moment for children at Westminster. Three, Westminster led religious resistance to Oregon's death penalty. Okay, got that? Picketers, Fred Rogers, religious resistance to the death penalty. You ready to vote? Okay, who votes for the lie? Picketers outside Westminster prompted a call to the police. Okay, that's a pretty good. You can help me get a tally on this, okay? Okay, how about two is the lie, Fred Rogers did a moment with children in worship at Westminster. Raise your hand if you think that's the lie. Okay, a little more on the first one than that one. Okay, third, Westminster led religious resistance to Oregon's death penalty. Raise your hand if you think that's the lie. Okay, just a couple. Okay, before I tell you which one, I'm secretly hoping that you don't think I'm a convincing liar. But the lie was actually number two. Fred Rogers didn't come here. Mr. McFeely came to Westminster. I had to research this. We did have picketers outside of Westminster when we hosted an event on Palestinian justice. And we did have Reverend Bonthius led resistance to the death penalty. So I wanted to start with something playful because quite honestly, talking about the truth right now is a pretty heavy subject. Just the words truth and fake are so charged. I saw a photograph of a newspaper with some words imprinted on the front, superimposed on the newspaper, and it said, "The truth is hard. The truth is hidden. The truth must be pursued. The truth is hard to hear. The truth is rarely simple. The truth isn't so obvious. The truth is necessary. The truth can't be glossed over. The truth has no agenda. The truth can't be manufactured. The truth doesn't take sides. The truth isn't red or blue. The truth is hard to accept. The truth is powerful. The truth is under attack. The truth is worth defending. The truth requires taking a stand. The truth is more important now than ever." Repeated lies can begin to sound like the truth. If you're on social media, you may have already discovered that you passed along an article or a story or maybe even a person you thought was true and wasn't. It's difficult to discern truth. We must be wise. We must ask questions. We have to dig. And when something seems not right, we have to dig deeper. And I believe we need each other. We need diverse voices to discern that truth. And all the while that we are doing this, the polarized extremes are getting farther apart and louder. There's a Lutheran pastor, Nadia Boltz-Weber, who said, "There's a popular notion that Christianity is about knowing the difference between good and evil so we can choose the good. But being good has never set me free the way the truth has. When the truth crushes me, it soon puts me back together into something more real. When the truth crushes me, it puts me back together into something more real. Perhaps in this time of proclaimed alternative facts, we're going through a process in which we can be put back together into something more real. I believe for that to happen, though, it takes diligence and it takes a wide community and the hard work of listening. We need diverse views in order to discern the truth. A Jewish friend of mine says, if you have two Jews, you have three opinions. I like to think that's true for Presbyterians too, right? A few weeks ago, the Reverend John Andres reminded us that we belong to each other. We get into trouble when we try to go it alone, because our view becomes very narrow. And as our view is narrow, the more difficult it is to discern what's true. Multiple views make us stronger. Listening and truth-telling as a community is a vital part of the spiritual maturity that we heard from Ephesians. We are not to be like children, tossed to and fro. We need to grow into something more real. In the early service this morning, there was this image of the truth being used like a hammer. Have you had that experience where someone took the Bible and a scripture, a verse, and hammered with it? We can feel hammered with repeated lies. We can be hammered with scripture, but all of that is not the spirit of Ephesians that we heard this morning. Now, Ephesians was written to an early church in the first century when we had Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. And guess what? Their different worldviews caused great strain. That's probably why this passage was written. Diverse religious and cultural backgrounds caused polarization. And so the scripture urges, speak the truth in love. In other words, in bearing witness to the truth, we must do so humbly. Humility, forbearance, and truth-telling are countercultural. You get what I'm saying? Telling the truth, doing it with humility, those are not things that we're taught naturally in our culture, but they come from loving one another. Ephesians calls us to speak the truth in love. Now, if you were looking at that passage in Greek, speak the truth in love, it's actually a verb, and it's something like truthing. When we speak in love, we are truthing. And I like that because it's active, right? I mean, we need some action. Who do you have the most difficulty truthing? Is it your spouse, your partner, your child, your sister or brother? What would your world look like, your community and your family, if consciously and constantly we were truthing? Writer Christina Baldwin said, spiritual empowerment is evidenced in our lives by our willingness to tell ourselves the truth, to listen to the truth when it's told to us, and to dispense truth as lovingly as possible when we feel compelled to speak from the heart. This made me think about a conversation with a friend who I had inadvertently hurt. She made it clear that she was going to criticize me, and I remember sort of, you know, getting tense and maybe even stop breathing for a minute. Like, what's she gonna say? And then with kindness and gentleness, she explained how I'd hurt her and what I could have done differently that would have been helpful for her. And guess what? Even though I don't like criticism, because she approached it with humility, I was able to hear it. And our friendship came to a deeper and better place. Ephesians calls us with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, every effort to maintain the unity of spirit in the bond of peace. I believe that even though this was written for the early church, for believers in the first century, that message is really for everyone. And we get to be invited to carry this to others. When we are truthing, we are remaking ourselves and the world into something more real. We're remaking it into something more loving. Our truthing will also give voice to the voiceless, to children, to the poor, to the prisoner, to the refugee. The Reverend Cynthia O'Brien, whom some of us know from her musical leadership at our Connection Sunday evening worship, she's now part of an organization called the Better Angels. This organization of 3,000 people so far is made up of an equal number of red Americans and blue Americans, and their aim is to bridge the partisan divide and to grow us into a depolarized nation. Westminster is going to be hosting one of those gatherings here next month. They're going to be practicing listening. They're going to be practicing speaking out of humility, truthing. And today, we celebrate the Lord's Supper. We eat from one loaf. We drink from one cup. We celebrate one Spirit, one God who is in all, above all, and through all. And as we eat together, we're reminded that because of God's love and grace, we can be reshaped into something more real and something more loving. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Purity of heart is about clarity, clearly speaking, clearly sharing of ourselves, trusting and loving, truth-telling. So there is a quote that's been ascribed to Rumi and to Sufis and to Buddha and to the Quakers. And I don't know where it came from, but I want to close with that saying right now. Before your words become speech, ask yourself three questions. Are these words true? Are these words necessary? Are these words kind? If the answer to all three is yes, only then are words as good as silence.